Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt.
Our guest is Jeffrey Yu, foreign exchange strategist at UBS in London. Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning.
Surprise from Switzerland this morning as the central bank cut interest rates and said it will increase the supply of francs to money markets in an effort to stem a surge in what it called the massively overvalued currency. Do you agree with the central bank? Was the franc massively overvalued?
We just have to put a context on this, right? From every Swiss point of view, they may believe that the currency is overvalued, but if you look in the context of what's going on in the Eurozone, which still faces really existential problems, and the debt ceiling debate in the US, and the prospect of further easing and weak conditions and balance of payment situations elsewhere, Swiss franc looks like a good bet. So, you know, if you're still looking for a safe haven, then people do want to go into Switzerland, and the Swiss economy is holding up relatively well. So from an external point of view, they'll say it's not overvalued. It's just a sign of, you know, how weak other currencies are at this stage.
Well, was there actual evidence that Swiss exports were hurting because of the currency, or is this just the central bank moving in anticipation?
Well, if you listen to the political debate and the central bank's point of view, they're saying it's already having a strong negative impact on the economy, even though you're not exactly seeing that in data yet. But if you, I think the anticipation angle is right in the sense that PMIs in Europe are coming down, global growth looks to be softening, and given Switzerland's strong links to the global capex cycle, there's a strong risk that the Swiss economy, the Swiss exports, will suffer as well. And if you expect export declines, the last thing you want right now is a very strong currency, which erodes your competitive position.
So what does the European Central Bank do, or what can it do anything?
Well, for the European Central Bank, from their point of view, they're probably still more interested in interest rate hikes at this stage, right? Because they still see inflation as above target, and inflation expectations are elevated. But in that context as well, how can you continue to rise the nominal cost of borrowing while other other countries are buckling under the weight of ever higher borrowing costs because of lack of demand for their bonds? So, you know, they're caught in a bind as well. But what Switzerland does is of no consequence to the ECB whatsoever. They'll just feel what they will do. They will do what they feel is right for price stability in the Eurozone.
Same for the Bank of England?
Same for the Bank of England as well, though the Bank of England right now, I think they're less concerned about inflation, more concerned about growth risks to the downside. Numbers have been very poor of late. Growth is anemic at best. So, you know, they may choose to actually, there is a growing sense that the debate is shifting away from tightening to the possibility of QE2 in the UK. And we wouldn't certainly not rule that out within the next 6 to 12 months or so.
Well, the other thing, or one of the other stories we have this morning, is 10-year British government securities down to 2.74%, lowest on record. It was down to 2.71 earlier.
I think there are two reasons for that. One is, as we've seen the price action in treasuries, whenever the QE debate increases, you do expect the central bank to come in to buy, and people try to load up on these securities in advance. But the other sense we're getting is, if you compare the UK to the Eurozone right now, there probably is still a great deal of asset switching going away from the Eurozone towards the UK right now, because even though the UK's fundamental numbers are very, very weak, it has a somewhat credible fiscal plan up ahead and a government that's willing to stick by it, whereas elsewhere they see solvency problems. I'm sure that gilt in a relative context, compared to the US and the Eurozone, the sense is it's a safer bet.
Well, when you look at the dollar here, can you take us through the rest of the year, Jeffrey? What do you see? I'm sorry, what?
Could you repeat the question, please?
As for the U.S. dollar, what do you see for the rest of the year?
Well, for the dollar, we actually still expect it to do well against the euro. Now that the debt ceiling debate has really been overcome, people will look at growth numbers more. Even though we have revised down our growth forecast, we don't expect events to pick up elsewhere either. But against other, let's say, commodity block currencies or higher beta currencies, risk currencies, as long as we don't see a total collapse, i.e. the world goes back into a recession, then the dollar may perform a bit more poorly against the rest, but let's say against the likes of the yen and euro, we're still quite positive.
Well, when we see a record price for gold, $1,675.90 earlier today, $1,672.30 right now, what's that telling you?
That's telling you that people are just scared of fiat currencies in general, and I don't think this fear is going to go away anytime soon. I'll be honest with you, I've been a rather skeptical about gold throughout my career, but over the last 2 years or so, I've become much more bullish because I think investors, there's a change in mentality. They're going into a post-fiat currency world where they will want an asset which is backed by something that is harder, and gold is the epitome of these assets, so it will continue to be in demand.
Well, is that fear justified or not?
I think that fear is justified because, as we've seen over the last few years or so, when central banks run out of options, they just print. And today, the S&P, even though there's no balance sheet expansion, they're not doing any outright printing, the net effect is the same. Basically, banks have more excess reserve balances, more money available to lend, and it's going to be... So, basically, central banks have moved away from a monetary policy framework towards a money framework. They just regulate the supply of money, and right now the trend is clearly up. So if you don't like what you're seeing there, then you just go into precious metals.
Jeffrey Yu, foreign exchange strategist at UBS in London.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keen and listen to Bloomberg the First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2011 Bloomberg LP.